blackness. The night. The clouds. The stars of Paramount. This is it. The DVD commentary. Starring me, Jack Black. And...
You like my first shot here? This is a homage to Scorpio Rising, actually, for those of you who know the Kenneth Anger film.
That's Richard Linklater, who just said that.
We actually had to redigitize Scott Rudin's credit there. It was too big when I was first contemplating this opening sequence. There was, oh, you can't do that, put the credits, because it's all, the guilds are all sized.
Dude, I remember someone's name was going to be like the hand stamp.
Yeah.
Remember that?
We couldn't get the, it was all about the size.
The hand stamp was
You like your
small.
Horns, though, on that little design, didn't you?
I like the fact that
little
it's
horns.
Flickering. The S in school is
yes.
flickering. That's
there was,
a good
there
idea.
There was some issue to change the title from The School of Rock to School of Rock. I think we're officially School of Rock, but...
I know.
But we didn't change that, thank God.
I can't decide what I like better, The School of Rock or School of Rock.
Here's your intro. Remember, it was. We thought it would be funny to... The first we see you, you're being an obnoxious, selfish musician.
Yeah.
Worried about your own sound and... What?
Yeah.
I think that's a fun intro.
And like, then I'm really pleased
to come
with
into
myself.
You. Yeah. When did you first hear of School of Rock?
Mike White called me. And he was like, I want to write something for you to be the lead in. Because, you know, I had a smaller part in a movie that he wrote called Orange County. And he had this idea where I was going to be like a substitute teacher at a school and, you know, teaching them music.
Or it wasn't a substitute at first. It was like...
No, it was a substitute.
Or something like...
It was a substitute.
Right, like she gets in a wreck...
Oh, well, that's later.
Yeah,
before,
yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about the very beginning, when it was just like a little seed.
You were going to find your way into a school and take over.
Yeah. Well, that, like, it was always, you know, a frustrated musician, a kind of a failure
right.
that was going to teach these kids how to something in secret, you know?
Right.
And I thought that was a cool idea, and then he wrote it up, and I loved it. I was scared, though, because the first draft of it, he got the job by accidentally breaking the other teacher's leg.
Right.
And then that always freaks me out, any kind of, like, right. injury humor, whenever, like...
Yeah, you didn't respond to that. I remember that when I came aboard several drafts in,
yeah,
that was still an issue on the table. It's like how to get him into the classroom without actually... injuring someone, like,
yeah.
It's funny, but it's not funny for the person who's getting, does it really hurt? Or you had some theories
yeah.
there.
But, yeah, I think he found a good way, a better way to sneak me in there. I like the scene there, actually, how it works.
Yeah, I mean, we telescoped it quite a bit. But, I mean, you would work with Scott Rudin, the producer, and Mike on Orange County. And
yeah.
I think Mike told me, like, he was talking to Scott about doing another script. Maybe he owed him another script. There was another deal.
Yeah.
And he knew you well. He'd lived next door to you and
That's
I think
true.
Wanted to write something to your specific gifts.
Yes.
I think he... And that's where it all started.
He certainly did. Yeah, it kind of went through a lot of drafts, you know. There were a lot of notes from Rudin, and you had a lot of notes, and then...
Yeah, I came aboard... Now, when did you first... I'm still not clear on certain things. I
yeah.
got a script from Rudin and a call from Rudin and that
yeah.
kind of thing. And I actually passed initially.
Oh, yeah.
But then I talked to you on the phone once.
Well, Rudin's first said, you know, well, what about Richard Linklater to direct it? And, we were both like, yeah, because we knew how awesome your other films were, you know. And Mike was like, yeah, he's got a lot of integrity he's going to bring to the table. And I agreed, and I thought, well, let's just get his ass on board. But I was afraid that you were going to stop me from being funny, but being overly broad. And my plan was to go redonkuloid at times.
I remember
you know.
Saying that. You want it to be redonkulous. And
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, we'll be redonkulous.
I wanted to go, yeah. I wanted
Don't
to
worry.
Go, yeah, you assured me.
That the redonkuli would be there.
That's right. Once we agreed on the redonkuli, But ultimately, I think you actually reined me in a few times and saved me from my own redonkulousness.
It's a fine line in the redonkulous.
Yeah.
But, no, it was fun. I remember, like, coming to L.A. meeting with Mike and you. I met with Mike all day. We just talked about the script and, you know, where it could go and what we're doing. Kind of a tonal thing. And then you came over that night. I think you were busy during the day.
Yeah.
I'm fairly tired, but we just talked kind of about music and where to go with it. And then later, we just talked a lot about music, as I remember.
That's true.
But a lot of it, we knew that Mike and both of us, I think we had a feel. Like, as you reach for what you want a film to be, and you're feeling that out, it's also good to know what you don't want to be. And
right.
we had the worst version in our minds, all of us, I think.
That's true.
You had for your character and everything, and I think we were all knowing what to avoid.
Well, I just wanted to avoid the cuteness.
Yeah, we were all on the same page on that one.
That's always the
and that's casting and just the tone and the, I don't know. I don't even know if I have that many films in my mind specifically. It's just kind of a general note, you know.
This is Spider. He's replacing you.
Like all the films you hear about with the feature kids that are cute. I've never even seen any of those. I just kind of feel like I have. Maybe I've seen trailers.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you just think like, oh, I don't want to do that.
I love this band, man.
Oh, no vacancy
rules,
you
really put
man.
Together a great
it was fun band. Casting a band, because it's not only musical ability. They're real
look
band.
Look at how sensitive he is. Lucas.
Yeah.
Lucas, the bass player.
Mm-hmm. He's really a guitar player. We moved him to bass just because I liked his
That's
character.
True. Isn't he in a
yeah,
yeah,
very good.
He's really
very good.
Very good
guitar player. And Adam is so great.
Do you ever do great we ever voice. Hear the drummer talk? Because he used
no,
an English accent.
We had a very funny bit. We said,
yeah.
Do you look at yourself and look at us.
That was cut out?
Yeah, it was just kind of like everything. It's a pacing
right.
thing. It was funny. He's telling you you
yeah.
need to, you know, look at yourself. I told you, you know,
yeah.
go to the gym, love. You know, he was doing this British accent.
He was the intellectual of
yeah,
No
the,
Vacancy.
The drummer.
Lucas was the, sorry, I just knocked the microphone.
That's all right. Yeah, Chris Stack.
The drummer.
The drummer.
Chris
great.
Stack was the intellectual
yeah.
of the band. Lucas was the emotional core. Adam Pascal was the power-hungry
leader, yeah.
corporate
lead
dude.
Singer, wannabe
He's
corporate
actually
sellout.
Great. He's actually great. He was in
and you were probably
original
the
cast
the,
of Rent,
yeah,
among many other Broadway smash hits.
Great voice. I remember
yeah.
casting him. He came in with Heal Me, I'm Heartsick, the last song in the movie.
Yeah.
We had a Craig Wiedren who wrote that song. He had that, and we just gave it to guys to take home and come in and perform, and he
That's
spent
right.
the weekend on it and came in and just nailed it.
Yeah,
just
he did.
Deep, heartfelt. I was like, oh, man,
I
this song
that.
Actually could be great.
You got a lot of gems in the casting process. Is that fun for you to do all that?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a
you
second.
Know,
here's Joan.
Hi, my name's Rosalie Mullins. I'm the principal.
The great Joan.
My favorite actress living.
Oh, man.
Emergency here. One of our teachers
so
broke
great.
Her leg on the way to
She's
school
so
this morning.
Fun.
And all of our subs are already working. Pat Wickham at Milton Prep recommended I give
It was fun to see Joan is often playing the
Ooh, look at that
spirit.
Sexy leg. Did you see that?
You got a little flank in there.
Ooh, little flank steak. You really didn't mind showing my
Yeah, well, hey man, I'm trying to help you out here.
It sells tickets,
That's
I suppose.
Right. That's the word. This is you came up with this a little bit.
Yeah.
This little voice.
Oh, you know what? I think he's just coming in.
I like that it goes on a little longer than it should. It's just like the humor of it. It's like you do a little more than you have to. It's just, and then this voice.
Hello, this is Mitch Schneebly.
And this Clash song,
that was,
it
no,
pays off right here.
That
this
is,
was a fun shot to do with the like a little moving
this
crane
This is a great
thing.
Song. You picked this song for its
for this
excitement
bit,
level
at this
going
moment.
Into Hogwarts school.
Exactly. We've never been in a bind like this. Isn't it fun to see Joan as kind of the uptight, you know, prim and proper... Because you get a sense she's rock and roll underneath, like
yeah.
like that comes out later. But it was fun to see her sort of against type, you know,
totally.
To be a uptight principal.
Okay, well,
yeah.
when you cut my check, just make it payable to Dewey Finn for tax reasons.
I like, this sets a tone for your character. He's, like, completely self-absorbed.
Okay.
And
yeah.
really, like, his own interests are bigger than, you know, getting away with it. It's like, can I get out of here early? I think that's hilarious that you would you would just try to sneak out if you, like, that's bigger than being caught or like you would risk it. Like, you're not even thinking that way. You know?
It is a really funny scene.
Like,
I love this
scene. You're worried about your check. You know.
You know, Joan is a real, like, she's a tweaker, if that's a good word. She likes to tweak. I remember she was always touching her own glasses in between takes. A lot of tweaks and peps and ticks and nips and whoops.
And Joan keeps coming at you with new little nuances. Like, each take, she's such a pro. She'll put a little more on this, a little let off that. It was so fun to work with her that way.
Yeah.
You know, that's my favorite kind of actor, would just keep coming with stuff. You know, little gradations from what you've already worked on, but give you a little more. You know, just not the same thing every time.
She really knew how to work it.
Love just your expression here. This gets a laugh, just the way you kind of saunter in.
Oh, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Here we go. Mister. Yeah, it's all good.
Why don't you write your name on the board?
Yes. Yes, I will.
Funny, man. Mr. S.
Mr. S. He takes over.
Whoopsie
daisy.
Mailage.
We had a thing we cut out here where she was picking on Freddie. That means you, Freddie. We establish him as the little screw up.
A lot of people think I made up all my lines because, you know, a lot of these things are funny and, like, sound off the cuff.
That's the ultimate compliment you can
get. For the writing. If the writing is good, it's like,
if you've worked it out.
Oh, Mike, why'd you have to have the flu?
He could be here. Wait, he's not here. We should be ripping on him.
Maybe he's actually just scared to watch the movie with us because of the possible, the criticism that could come his way.
That's right. We had a section here that we went through Snickers and applesauce, and there were a lot of things, but, you know, in the editing, you get right to, we got right to Tamika and the sandwich.
Yeah.
That's an editing room dilemma, you know, it's like keeping it moving. You lose a little general humor tone for story.
Yeah.
What do you got? Miriam.
Yeah.
Tamika.
You found her.
She was the last one cast in this whole movie.
You found
her. Kind of an open call.
At the last second.
Kind of last second.
Right in the nick of time.
Right the week before we started rehearsals.
What a find.
Well, we needed, you know, it was kind of particular. A great voice, obviously, and a girl who's kind of large.
Yeah.
It's hard to advertise for that.
Right. How do you advertise that?
Yeah, very subtly. Subtly.
Right.
But it worked. She came in and kind of blew us away.
She's great.
I love the ne'er-do-wells in the back. Frankie and Freddie, Angelo and Kevin.
Yeah.
Such little delinquents.
He gets set up right away.
Yeah,
as the troublemaker.
You get the vibe from him. Shut up. There was a thing earlier where she tells him to, that means you, Freddie. I kind of like it that we arrive at it rather than being told he's the bad guy.
He's like the motorcycle guy in Bad News Bears.
Right, exactly. Miranda, Summer. First, I'd like to just say, welcome to Horoscope. Thank you. I knew this film was going to work when I saw a video. Just, I was sitting there in my place in Austin going through videos, and I came across this little pixie.
Yeah.
Littler than the others. Miranda's the youngest cast member. She's only 9.
Wow.
Most of the kids are 10 or 11. But she had this kind of verbal quality and this kind of sureness about herself.
Yeah.
Cute, but serious and kind of against type. I think it was written for like a blonde hair, snooty kind of girl.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, well, Miranda's kind of not that, but is that, you know, in her own.
She's got a
She's
great,
her own version of it.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen that person before, the know-it-all, but you got to like her, ultimately.
She's got that great, super confident quality, yeah. Oh, the violence. Fear. Look at that. What, it's raining red shards of paper.
There will be no grades, or gold stars, or demerits. We're going to have recess all the time.
Woo!
But Miss Dunham only gives us recess for 15 minutes.
Hey! You're not here.
I wish we had a wider. You were doing this little goose step thing that was hilarious.
You can kind of see it.
You can sense it. It's below the frame, but it's there. You were doing. I wish I would have had a great, you know, the desk. It was hard to actually capture that.
I love Cole in that scene. The kid that played Leonard.
Yeah. Oh, he's awesome.
Demerits.
Demerits.
I just love the way he says words.
Yeah. Well, he has the best line in the whole movie.
Yeah.
You mean we're not in the bang?
That's the
That's
biggest.
The whole audience. Every audience. Aww.
All right. Well, that's fine, Emily. You're excused.
I love this whole dynamic here.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that right before three, you were just looking at that second hand? I thought to make it very juvenile on your part, like you're more juvenile than the kids. That establishes that. Like they're in no hurry to get out of there.
I think I got one high five out of that whole row of kids.
I know, and it really didn't affect you at all.
No, like, I'm ready to party.
You're heading out, you know.
It's very highly recommended. Mr. Schneebly?
Yeah!
Mr. Schneebly?
A little physicality here, jumping. You could have
right.
put a foot on a hood.
No stunt man there.
No.
That was
no
all,
way.
All my natural athleticism. Who are these guys?
There were musicians who were into... See, that one, the way the thing floated to the camera.
Oh,
this is kind of a sad scene. People are like, oh, man. But I like it. This really establishes Dewey. You're, like, kicked out of your band.
Yeah.
You've got no money. You're behind on your rent, and people think you suck. You're really at the end of something here.
It's pathetic. He's putting flyers up, and no one's biting.
You're not a teacher. And that's what I love about Dewey, though. That's what I... Oh, wait. This is my cameo.
Oh, my God!
That's me, the long-lost drummer.
Middle. You're the guy in the middle.
But we were going to talk about... You were going to say, whatever happened to that guy?
Well,
I
was...
OD or something?
I don't know if that counts as a cameo, dude. If you're just in a photograph...
That's my kind of cameo.
A cameo, you actually have to do some acting. And I guess you did when you posed for the photo.
I got tattoos put on myself for that and wore a little fishnet. We did that. Remember, it was like the last week of rehearsal.
Yeah.
We were out there and took some photos.
Okay, Sarah Silverman is in this scene.
Oh, man.
And she is so funny. But she was constantly torturing Mike.
Constantly.
By making him laugh right before it was time for his take. And I think
her favorite line was, okay, guys, to the crew. Right?
Yeah.
Do you want to do it?
Wasn't it, you guys, come on. Let's do this fast. Mike has diarrhea.
She said
action.
That about 14 times.
And then you would say action, and Mike would be stuck in this weird...
I like Ned's character, that he's just this...
I like the totally rock and roll radio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got a sneak. That's Kiss doing the Ramones.
That's Kiss? That's
a Kiss cover.
Nice.
How about that?
That was kind of a coup.
Yeah.
You got that.
Hell yeah.
Is that off one of their albums, or is that...
I want to
learn. Is that especially
one of those,
for the...
Yeah. Like, right. Tribute things.
Hey, what do you like to do?
I don't know. Burn stuff.
Just go out and have recess.
My parents don't spend $15,000 a year
wondering
for recess.
What number to come up with here, like how much their tuition should be. We were going around to private schools like, what do they pay here?
Right.
We were at this one out in Long Island. It was $15,000 a year.
Yeah,
so, okay, that's good.
That sounds about right.
This is the pump speech for the movie. This is your inspirational.
Oh, yeah. This is my mountaintop anger jam.
It is.
You're just going to lose big time because the world is run by the man.
Who?
The man. You don't know the man?
Angelo.
Yeah, Angelo plays Frankie.
Angelo,
you know,
is the man.
He is the man, and he taught me how to get past the first stage in Splinter Cell on my Xbox. I had to bring him to my trailer and get a private lesson.
It's like the kids' expressions.
Yeah.
But I still can't believe we got this line through the censors.
Doing that too with a little thing called MTV.
Well, just because Paramount.
But there are corporate
and
parents.
MTV are in the same family.
But you just said they ruin rock and roll.
I know. That's why they should have stopped us from saying that.
Even on the day, I thought the phone was about to ring, saying, "Oh, hey, can
I
you
know.
Change?" We just noticed that you're kind of putting
hey,
down.
Hey, you know what? Then maybe that's something that's cool of MTV.
They're so
to
big.
Let us do that.
Or you know what? They're so big. Had it been maybe 15 years ago,
right.
They would have been. Hey, you know, we're not. Now they're so big.
They
so
don't
ubiquitous.
Care. There's nothing.
It's like
yeah.
they would like some loser musician saying they ruined it. They're just laughing at you, dude.
This is where I realize.
At
Wait
the
a
urinal.
Second.
I like
at
that
the,
he has this eureka moment at the
yeah.
urinal. We try to
yeah.
get those urinals. I don't know if that reads as well as I would have liked. The small kitty urinals.
Oh,
small,
right.
Small, but I don't know if
the problem is I'm so short that it looks kind of right. I know what you're going for.
Now,
but.
This scene was hell, actually, because we had to train every kid not Robert Tsai here, the great piano player, but the other kids, everyone needed an instrument. They all needed it. We had to come up with a song. It was for this one scene. It had to set their classical tone. But, you see Freddie will progress.
Yeah.
And this is, I think most people are looking at Summer on the right, but it's really, Rebecca,
that's
Katie,
right.
To her at the cello.
On the cello.
This is where you first see Joey.
Shreddy. Shreddy Krueger. Here it comes.
Shreddy.
Joey. What?
That's a...
No.
The wave.
Yeah.
When I saw you do the wave, I was like, okay, that's it.
That's my bread and butter.
This was the first thing we shot. Remember that first day? It was like 5 degrees outside.
No way. That's
Remember
right.
Remember that? Oh.
It was freezing
and
cold.
We shot this like a month later on a soundstage. But, again, a little physicality here. This little hurdle, little Rod Milburn.
I was jumping over nothing, by the way.
But you had a little thing in your step.
I always like to look at Robert Tsai, the kid who plays Lawrence, just to see if he's about
smiling.
To start laughing. Yeah.
He's always about to.
Yeah.
You can rest assured.
Why didn't anyone tell
I have to say, I think this is my favorite scene in the movie.
Yeah?
When you get the band together.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in a way, the movie really kicks off here, like what will be the movie.
Well, that was really important to you, and I think it was really key.
A waste of like, we had to believe you as their Pied Piper leader,
right.
And we also had to believe they could play.
Yeah.
We had to, in a very short time, see that they had the goods.
Okay.
Remember rehearsing this? It was so fun coming up with these three songs. It's like, we have to get these real archetypical rock, these...
Yeah, that's right.
These licks that are identifiable to so many... Iron Man, and Smoke on the Water, and Back in Black, And Joey, because he's a total rock star, it was getting him to be stiff.
Right.
To say classical stiff kind of guitar player. I don't know if that's totally accurate, but that was the conception we had to get him... to loosen up from being stiff. So his acting is to act like he's doing this for the first time.
That's right.
That was his big chore. His trajectory.
To have an arc, he had to pretend to not know any rock.
We were playing for the final colors.
Yeah.
Like who the kid really is who he is at the end.
You're right. That was really easy for him to let his hair down and rock at the end.
Robert here is truly the kid in our cast who had the School of Rock education.
That's true.
I mean, absolutely no rock reference.
Yeah, he had zero rock.
But here he is, doing Ray Manzarek proud. Remember rehearsing this? It was like, this has got to... This is one of my more favorite of your kind of improv things we worked up.
This
is the line. And you see Robert's kind of smiling there. I like your look here. Stop.
Perfect.
That's perfect. You're perfect. See, you got the band here. You're pumped. You're on
That's
a roll.
Right.
You're two for two. You got a guitar.
Okay.
You got
a...
What was your name?
Katie,
what was that thing you were playing today, the big thing?
Cello.
Okay, this is a bass guitar, and it's the exact same thing, but instead of playing like this, you tip it on the side. Cello, you've got a bass. Try it on. Okay, now play this note right here. That's a G. Okay. But let your fingers do the rock and keep that G coming all day long.
Well, there was another thing that we didn't get. It was on another take. And just play this G over. G, G, G. Because that, if a bass, that's all you have to do. Play the same
note. Right.
We put a little, it was kind of funny. You were talking about bass players.
But I think we covered it.
Yeah. We get the idea.
Let your fingers do the rocking.
Yeah, but it was like, that's, as a bass player, that's all you'll be doing.
Yeah. Okay, that's ridiculous. That's the audition for drumming. Oh, God.
It was hard because unlike guitar, what do you do?
No.
It's ridiculous that you wouldn't have already soundproofed the room.
That's true.
But
also,
where do we get...
What's ridiculous is that I am such a bad drummer for me to even...
He surpasses you immediately.
Yeah.
Above it. And the middle one. No middle one. I changed my mind. Now go an octave below. Now give me some rhythm.
It was important that Dewey actually is passionate, but he's knowledgeable.
Yeah.
He knows his stuff. He's not this lunkhead metal guy who doesn't know his stuff. I like the idea Dewey can read music, passionate, smart, and obviously finding he's a good teacher. Like, that was interesting to me that he could be that guy.
That really
I mean, that's very important, I think, for your character. Like, because to me...
Okay, now this is here.
Okay, here
I
we
actually
go.
Do play my own guitar solo right here. Yeah. Check it out.
Yes! Oh! All right, let's go!
Now, while that is a really bad solo, you can see that I make up for badness with passion.
Exactly. That goes a long
way. Not just in the movie, but in reality.
Pay attention, because I do not want to have to fail you.
He's not a good teacher, Dewey. He's not a good teacher of anything except for what he does teach, The Rock. Why? Because he loves The Rock. And I've had a couple teachers in my youth that were great teachers. Like my acting teacher in ninth grade, Debbie Devine. She loved teaching the acting. She loved, you know, doing it. And that was my most inspirational teacher.
There's nothing as inspiring as, like, inspiration. Someone who's enthusiastic about what they're talking about. Whatever it is. You can make the most boring subject or aspect of life pretty exciting if it's related to you and with that kind of zest, you know. So.
Did you have any good film teachers?
Not really. I never went to film school. I mean, to me, it was like, it's so sad when you get kind of a lame education. All the subjects that, as an adult, you discover really are interesting. But you look back on your own education and go, God, that was so boringly presented. Some teacher sitting in the front of the classroom reading from the book. You know, it's like, no wonder I didn't learn anything. You know, to me, the film is a lot about a guy finding his niche, you know, in the world that, you know, society could label someone, oh, he's kind of a loser musician dude. But, you know, I mean, there's that level of, oh, he kind of finds something, you know, about himself here. Like that, I think that was important, that those people we judge out there as, oh, they don't really have anything to offer. You know, it's like, ah, you know, given the right circumstances, everybody has something to offer other people. It's just funny that you do it through illegal means here. You know, total happenstance. And you're being selfish, you know, you're totally doing it for all your own reasons. But I kind of related to that character who's trying to create his own world somehow, despite everything around him. He's trying to live his dreams. It's fun to watch someone with a passion who has an intentionality.
You know, that's true.
And who's lying and manipulating and doing everything to whatever it takes.
I have a few friends like that.
Caitlin, what a talent.
Yeah.
She's a wonderful little actress. She's so talented. She's like witty, smart. They're all Alicia.
Yeah.
Stop before I start crying because I've found the missing ingredient.
You're like this little smile she gives. She had a little. This was the hardest thing to do in the entire movie. Miranda is actually a very good singer. To get off key and to not for you to believe what you just did there.
Do you know what I love is that all of their parents, while we were shooting this, we're in a tiny little room like a half a mile away from us, and they weren't allowed to, like, sit on the set and watch us acting.
Did you want 15 parents?
Dude, of course not. Because it goes to my theory that it's impossible to rock in front of your parents. And I discovered this when I first played in front of my mom. The first rock show I played in front of my mom was the worst show I've ever done. Not that I was stoked that the parents were uncomfortable, but I contend that it's impossible to rock in front of parents. Do you know what I mean?
Look at this. I was appalled that this is a nice private school in Long Island, and they really are drinking, like, Kool-Aid. This is their diet. Kool-Aid, a burger. It's like surprised that the food was so...
Dude, what did you have when you were growing up?
Well, probably the same.
A sack lunch, maybe.
Yeah.
Apple.
Greens and fried chicken or whatever. You're the
cat's pajamas, man. Robert Tsai is the king of the universe.
Yeah, I agree. Like, this scene mirrors something that actually happened to me. It was the first day of rehearsal. Robert shows up, and this is when you know you've just won the whole thing, because he was like, I do not think I should be in the movie. I'm not really an actor, so I do not know what's expected of me. Perhaps I should not be in the movie. I'm like, Robert, that's why you're in the movie, because you're going to be great. But that's when I knew we were on track with him.
Well, this was one of the scenes, when I read the script the first time, I circled and said, well, this is a scene I'm really looking forward to doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was really important to you, that we have this crazy handshake.
I don't remember.
No, I remember. We did it one time in rehearsal, and you were like,
do the handshake.
Don't forget the handshake. But the truth is, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. It's just a handshake that goes on forever.
We did extend it. You just kind of, we did about a bunch of takes, but by the last one, you just, it got more and more elaborate and redonkulous.
Zack Attack.
I remember Mike feeling really strong about having funny nicknames for all the kids. Like, you don't know the kids' names just yet. You're starting to learn them. But it was like, it was coming up with nicknames for some of the kids. Remember, we had a Carrot Top in the script, but we didn't have a Carrot Top actor until we got James. But like Braceface, Blondie.
I love Mr. Cool because of the significance that we just had.
I love the way you do it, too. It's got a little like, you know, you're already working with it.
Yeah.
Now, this is the great introduction of Brian Paldudo.
Oh, that's Billy. Right.
Get on it. I mean, these guys kind of go to work, and he has another agenda.
Fancy pants.
Fancy turkey sub. That's a good name.
Turkey sub, fancy pants, brace face. Yeah.
I love these kids. Little Zachary on the right.
It's crazy that I'm going to put them in charge of building and operating lasers.
That's what, I mean, this movie, it's so ridiculous, like so much of this, that you're doing it straight. There's something kind of wonderful about it. It's like so...
This I was scared of.
Yeah.
I didn't want to call these 13-year-old girls groupies.
Try 10-year-old girls.
10-year-old girls. It just seems
9,
so wrong.
10, 11.
It was like, wait a second.
Yeah, you had problems with this. You had problems.
Well, I was, yeah. I
we had
to
wrap
sure.
our head around exactly. All
right. Sit down. And I don't think it was even... Was it changed words-wise, or did I just go at it...
A little bit.
It's kind of...
You made it simpler, like, let's just worship the band.
That's right.
Yeah, just because it was... Because the other one was like, and you'll be telling how great the band is. And that, you didn't
feel
so good about that. You just wanted to keep it simple. And,
but as it stands now, it's a funny moment. I'm glad it stayed in there. But
yeah. I mean, the funny thing is just you saying groupies.
Right.
Not the pledge.
I pledge allegiance. To the band.
When you say creative control, that gets a good laugh. I mean, that's kind of a holdover from earlier drafts. Remember how obsessed Dewey was, such a kind of a fanatic about like creative control. He was sort of a control freak.
That's right.
It's less in the final version, but it's funny that it works here. I'm saying, because you're getting it straight right now. Who's the boss? You know, it's very. You know, if you look closely, Miranda Summer nailed it. She's the only one who, like, totally, you know, it's over in the corner, but she said it all perfect. I love this moment.
Oh, that's good.
Miranda's just sitting here. I remember working on this little
research.
Grimace. Yeah.
She's done her groupie research. Mm-hmm. She is not pleased.
Like, you kind of know something's up here.
I know I'm busted.
Some pretty.
Look at how cold it was.
Oh, remember, it was ridiculous.
I remember it was. It felt colder than it was, though. It felt like it was zero.
It was cold. It was 5, but it felt 0.
Yeah. No, I think it was 14.
Yeah.
But 14 is still very
cold. Poor Miranda.
Cold.
I remember she was purple in between takes. I mean, that's the bigger issue. Why were we shooting this film in New York? I mean, that's kind of where it was all, you know, but it's not really set there. Remember, I talked about, I live in Texas, so I'm like, hey, we could shoot this in you know, a lot of private schools around Dallas or Houston.
It would have been fun to do it in Austin.
It
would have been cheaper.
Sure would
have. But the truth is, something about the coldness and the crispness.
It works.
Works with the tightness and the.
Exactly.
Of the school.
It's not a. I like that it was sort of a fall winter type movie.
Yeah.
The oppression of the schools.
First thing you do when you start a band.
Mr. Schneebly, before we start, shouldn't I first take attendance?
Okay, fine.
Okay. Now, Michelle?
Here.
Okay. And Marco?
Here.
Okay. Summer?
Here.
Now, this is the biggest no-no you could ever do. Actually touch a kid like that and push a kid.
Shove her?
That's like the ultimate taboo, you know. Like, you never, ever touch a kid these days.
No,
I mean, when I was a kid,
anymore.
They would give us paddlings and beatings. And But, like, now.
No, come on.
Your reaction here to these.
You, shortstop.
Puff Daddy.
Wrong.
I wonder if I'm ever going to meet Puff Daddy and be in like,
he'll
big
be like,
trouble
hey,
with
man.
Him.
No, he'll like it. I worry about that because I'm a huge Liza Minnelli fan.
Yeah.
You know, in the script, it was Bette Midler. I kind of shifted it over to Liza because I love Liza Minnelli. I flew across the country to watch her on Broadway and doing songs from her dad's movies. And so I would hope she would appreciate. But you kind of worry when you're doing a riff.
It's true.
It does cross your mind.
AC/DC.
Didn't you say you didn't get into a puffy party one time?
Yes, it's true.
So, hey, he deserves
it. No, it's
it.
True.
Don't feel bad. Don't
I got
feel bad.
Back at him.
You got, that's your payback.
It's just funny to me that he would say, who do you like? And then say, wrong.
Yeah.
What? Come on.
Like, that's his blowhardness.
That's really funny.
10 to 11, rock appreciation.
On paper, there's a lot to not like about, you know, he's kind of blowhard ego.
That was funny to you. I remember that rock appreciation and theory.
The way you said theory.
That there has to be two separate things there.
Well, you know, there's always that in, like, advanced studies. It's and theory.
I mean, since I'm band manager and I have the most responsibility.
Summer? If you grade grub one more time, I will send you back to the first.
It's funny what's funny to different ages. Like, grade grub gets a big laugh with little kids.
Right.
Whereas the adults just kind of would never laugh at grade grub. Why is
that
funny?
A lot of levels here.
Which I wrote.
Let's hear it.
What?
Let's hear your song.
You want to hear my song? I'll play you my song if you want to hear it.
I was really insecure about this.
Well, it works.
This upcoming shot when I first saw it, because you didn't cut away from me when I'm playing
my song.
You
called me up. I was nervous for you to see the movie anyway, but then you said, hey, it's all cool except that one shot. It's a lot of me.
Yeah.
You don't want to cut away to something? But that was the conception.
I'm just not used to seeing that long a shot either.
It's kind of, if you can get away with that in a studio film, it's kind of fun.
That's cool.
But I thought it totally, if you had any doubts, it totally sells his reality of his world. It's not a trick.
Right.
This is you. This is Dewey full on. It just, there's something on an unconscious level to the viewer. I think it just, in some way, you have to accept he's the real deal, you know, in his own, that he can nail this.
Look at how slow that move
is,
man.
Yeah, it's a slow move. Slow little dolly move. Creeping along.
It grew on me over time, but the first time I saw it, I was like, cut to someone else's face smiling or something.
Well, the humor of the piece where you're like, that's dry ice. All the asides.
Right.
Remember as we worked on that? That was so essential to
right.
Like these kind of asides, chimes, dry ice.
I remember.
We did about, what, 8 takes of this?
Yeah, this was one of the later ones.
Yeah, this is probably about like 6 or so.
I feel like my best take is the first take, but sometimes.
This was so,
into a groove.
Difficult.
Right.
I mean, you make it look easy. I can't imagine doing anything harder.
I wrote that little nugget.
The what?
The song there.
That's
mine.
Totally.
Didn't make it onto the soundtrack album, unfortunately.
That's because of the people who own you elsewhere, right? But no, I remember talking about what would his song be. I like that you caught a perfect balance between personal, like the rent issues, like in his own life, but then he had these kind of grandiose.
I don't know. Just to sing about your own hardcoreness seems
right. You like the idea of Dewey as kind of full of it, sort of grandiose about in the end of time. It was big themes, big things, you know, he was thinking about. But it was also personal. Like, I like that Dewey's working from a place of hurt and anger, maybe.
Yeah.
There's a certain bit of, like, I'll show you.
Yeah.
And so that you could combine those both in one song, I think, was really impressive. The way it shifts tones there.
Well, you know, there was a time I thought, I'm going to write all the music in the movie.
Yeah, that was the initial.
And then I gave up. But at least I got that one in there.
Yeah.
There's Jordan Clare.
And Veronica.
Jordan Clare Green.
The Qualbears.
No.
And Veronica Hasslerbach. I don't know if I said that right. Hasslerbach.
Hello. How's it going?
How about pig rectum?
Shite.
I'm sure.
It's a science.
That was fun when you came back with it's a science. This is all one shot, so there were things about different ones. And we had to.
Yeah, it's cool how many of those you got, the one shot wonders.
It's kind of nice on a reality level, but it often limits you because, like, say the first part of that was better than the second, you know, sometimes there's a slight little compromise.
Right.
Hopefully not. You have to.
She's always right on the brink of slapping me or screaming at me.
Or grabbing you by the shoulders or something to
like
straighten you up.
She's got.
Billy, can't you see I'm talking to Principal Mullins?
Oh, hi.
Brian was, he took to that role so well.
He's great.
He just had so much fun with it, you know.
What'd you find, Brian? Did he come in on audition?
Yeah, he came in just like all the other kids. Every kid who came in had to not only do a scene or two, but also had to do a, play an instrument or sing a song.
So you didn't discover
Brian sang
any of the
Send
kids.
In the Clowns.
Like in the 40s and 50s, like Lucille Ball would try to be discovered by
at
hanging
the drug out. At a drugstore or whatever.
At a soda fountain or something.
Right.
You didn't discover anybody like that.
Nobody came
okay.
in. I mean, there's a myth out there that these are non-professional actors. The exact band, those kids didn't have a lot of acting experience.
Right, but the rest of
everybody
the kids,
else,
yeah.
those kids are pros.
That's true.
I don't know. It bugs me when I read a cast of non-professionals. I mean, bull. Various levels of experience, but, you know, they've got headshots, resumes, they come to auditions, you do scenes, they've got agents, you know, it's...
Right.
I mean, they were that, but they weren't like the worst kind of that, you know,
that's
the
true.
Heavy stage moms and all that BS. But they were like, we were looking for like real kids who just happened to be interested in acting and have some experience. We got the a cappella version of your song, but this is the version, ultimately... The live version we're going to hear of the band,
yeah.
that arrangement.
Oh, yeah.
And remember on the day, we just worked up with the girls singing like, oh, go sit over here and sing the chorus. You know, like, we'll get it in a shot. I think that's these
that's
two
beautiful.
Little...
That's
so,
I love
so
that.
Funny. Freddie kicking it on the drums here. Boom, boom, boom. Remember, I mean, just like, it's like we need you being band leader, like
yeah.
tightening these kids up a little bit, you know. Like,
that's right. This is another opportunity to show
yeah,
that.
And now we have to, this is the next,
the
this is the next input on Zach's, you know, loosening him up to be a rock star.
That's right.
Like you came up with all this Robotronic loosey-goosey.
The kids love the loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
I know. And you know what? It's perfect. But the thing is, rock is about the passion, man.
Key idea right there, I think.
You're the lead guitarist, and we are counting on you for some style.
Brother?
Well, later I say it's all about getting mad at the man. But it's not all about it. It's also about the passion. There's about a lot of different things.
Mixed messages here.
I've sent some mixed,
mixed signals.
Mixed lessons.
Yeah, now raise your guard.
Remember, you just like the way that the guitars
he
are crossing.
He takes to this lesson so yeah. well, though, wouldn't he?
And we get
look
that
at him
vibe.
Sell that thing, baby.
Joey.
Way to
totally
go,
saw.
Rocker.
Your little look there.
Oh, yeah. I knew that was gold when he did it on
yeah,
the day.
On
that
the
looked
day.
So good. I love that flying V guitar. The
yeah.
Joke.
And the letter of the wrench was way hardcore.
We're rocking. Your homework is to listen to some real music.
Little Zeppelin.
Little Zeppelin.
For Blondie.
Blondie.
Blondie. Blondie.
For Lawrence. Yes.
Okay, that was my call to give me a...
Give me,
because I really do believe that is the best keyboard solo in the history of rock.
Yeah, that was so fun on this
you
movie.
You agree
to,
with
actually,
me.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
Roundabout.
Absolutely. And, well, we went with... I mean, Rick Wakeman.
Neil
Peart. Like, we hit these archetypes of... Like who you might want to introduce someone to.
It's true.
And we carry
I stand
it further.
Behind, I stand behind all of these CD recommendations.
Absolutely. I mean, we only do this once. We're not going to mess around and throw something out there we don't believe. But it was fun to carry it all the way through. Like at the final show when you see that cape on Robert, you like to think, for those who know Rick Wakeman, that he might wear a cape.
Check out how how sad. He's
yeah.
really... I love that. I love his performance.
He's probably the most different... I mean,
yeah.
the kids, we kind of wanted them to be somewhat themselves.
Yeah.
Joey
what? Why not? It's an important
has to be the least like himself right. for the most amount of the movie.
You
know what I mean? A kind of sullen kid.
That's true, but this one's got a dark secret as well.
Miriam.
Her secret fear. There's some
well,
good...
just a shyness. I think she sells it so well.
That's true.
I mean, that's really kind of her. I mean... It was hard to pick the exact right song. She sang a Whitney Houston when she came in on the
yeah.
audition. When she hit the...
Do you know...
Like little,
I think this was a last-second
yeah,
choice.
Yeah, there
here.
Was a couple we were playing with, but
she wanted to party with this one at the last minute, and I think it was a good call.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the other one she was doing.
There were a couple out there. There
that
was
one
a gospel
gives me the
song.
Shivers. When she sings that, when I saw that in the theater, I got a little chingly
yeah.
shivers. Is that a word, Chingley?
It was kind of a Broadway, another Broadway song where you think, like, what she, what would be her reference, but this made the most sense, like a show tune kind of thing.
This is what I love about this song that you picked here.
Yeah.
Roadrunner.
Richmond.
Look at how I walk right to it.
Bum, yeah, you look like a Roadrunner.
It's just right on the beat, though.
And this is arguably one of the first punk songs.
Did you pick that song because it went right with my walk in there?
You know how this is in post. You just try different songs,
right.
And that one had the right spunk to
it.
It
went right with my power march.
You got to love the sentiment, too. It's, I'm in love with rock and roll. So here comes Zach's dad. He's like the... I mean, it was written sort of, okay, there's some pressure from parents and... Didn't want to hit it too hard, but it is good to feel
that's got
like
a real
kind of,
feel to it.
Mike really believed in this, like he really thought the songwriter. I remember going to, I felt a little formulaic for, you know, but he really like felt strong about we
hey.
Really need there's a reason this kid shut down and he's
sometimes formulas are right, like
equals
MC squared. That's a good formula.
There's a formula for you.
I think that guy, the guy that plays
genre,
his father, plays it so real,
Tim,
too.
Yeah, he's great, because he's in a believable way. He's
and
not
I love
like,
those evil black gloves that he wears.
Frothing, yeah. He's a Volvo-driving father. He's not frothing at the mouth, but it's that kind of pressure.
Oh, yeah,
kind of
and
guy.
That was important. I remember that was important in the rewrite, that happened right before this scene to carry it into the scene.
Absolutely. You know, the storytelling is pretty tightly constructed, even though it feels pretty loose. But, like, everything's an input. Like, the band is progressing. And this is...
This is a lesson about
your
anger and rock.
Your improv lesson, spontaneous improv lesson here...
Yeah.
...was all about...
That's right. I'm the man.
You know, shaking the kids up and...
And hey, but really making a connection
with Zach,
too, saying... Hey,
yeah, indirectly, it's all about that.
Your dad is kind of a b-hole. Let's sing about it.
It was taking... I think it's the best lesson about art and creativity, that you pull something out of your own life. And this is the basic... Like, so much of rock and roll, there's that rebellious... There's, like, the sexual release type spirit.
Right.
And then there's, like, rebellion... And this, we sort of tapped into the rebellion that it was like, okay, what makes you mad? It's the base level, but...
That's what's cool about the movie, too, I think, is that while it's sweet, it's got this kind of subversive undercurrent going through it.
Well, we were having our own fun. We were having our own fun with this. You know, you got to.
No allowance.
It's the most simple stuff. Allowance, bullies, chores, you know.
Yeah.
What else makes you mad, Michelle? Chores.
The fact that you could actually whip up a song about this.
This was a really hard song to do in the movie because bullies. I love it when he says bullies.
Yeah, another Cole delivery. That's just...
Cole is the master.
Cole
He's so simple.
Is,
he just...
Zach?
I don't know.
I mean, see, so there's obviously a connection between this scene and then Zach writing his own song, you know. Sort of simple, but it works, storytelling-wise.
That's true.
Remember, we argued about the step off. I was really reaching for another word that meant that.
I like
you
step
off. You love step off.
Yeah,
and
I like it.
I ultimately do, too. I mean, very much. I just had
this
to be convinced.
This is what's hard here, though, is going back and forth from me.
Them, you, yeah. It was fun to cut loose here, and I mean, this is like the whole. This was spontaneous. Those are all real laughs. That wasn't planned. You did kick over the desk. I love that last little look. I mean, this all was legit.
That Gila monster scream that I do really kind of that scares me to see it now. Who was that?
I know. Who was that guy who emerged?
I was temporarily possessed.
I loved it. I loved to see that. You show the kids that that's okay.
Wait.
Yo-Yo Ma's cousin,
Little Nepotiz. That's short for nepotism.
I think it is. You're a little clever there. You like the Yo-Yo Ma. Remember, you were... we were just... The assignment on this day was like, what are we going to be talking about before we get down there? We want to... So you just sort of worked up all this.
You
that
know
doesn't just
cool
go over
though?
All the kids' heads. This goes over the adults' heads.
I just wanted to say, that was a really cool lesson today.
Well, thanks, dude.
I'm hungry for some of those tater tots, man.
I know. Those look good now. I was just ragging on their diet, but it actually looks pretty good.
It looks good to me. Some fruit punch and some tater tot.
The big board.
The legendary board.
God, we spent weeks on that. I remember putting it up like a week before and letting the cast and crew comment, because I didn't want everybody's... I hate these things when someone has the definitive family tree of the history of whatever. Inevitably, you just want to pick it apart. So...
Yeah.
At least everyone got to criticize and have some input. And
that's true.
It became a group project. It got the whole cast and crew kind of all
on
the same page.
Well, what was good was that by the time it was time to shoot that scene,
we were done.
It felt like it was done.
Yeah, we had signed up. Everyone had signed up.
Yeah.
I like Rebecca's little expression.
Rebecca's great.
Cute.
Yeah.
See, we see the little input. These montages are great because you can just, all the little storytelling inputs, like he's going to be the computer guy.
That windmill is so ferocious.
Yeah.
I love this footage that you picked for this montage.
Oh, it was so fun, like picking all these little bits. I thought, oh, and we're going to really do this history of rock.
Ah, that's the best.
This one here.
Because of what he does right here.
Hello. And you had some commentary there. You didn't make the montage, but you were talking there. That was very funny.
Right.
Summer of the business. I love montages for this reason. You get so much economical storytelling.
That's true.
Like, this buys us... The time frame of the movie is roughly 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And this buys us about a week and a half.
Right.
Of, you work out a timeline for everything.
That's cool.
Love the slideshow. The digital slideshow, by the way.
Yeah.
Because someone said, you don't have Iggy in the movie. I said, we do have Iggy. That's him.
True.
He's the first slide. Don't tell me we don't have Iggy.
And by the way, when I'm clicking that clicker, I'm anticipating because I have no control.
Yeah, we're faking. I love getting Buddy Rich and like Art Tatum.
Melting into Keith Moon.
Art Blakely, excuse me. Yeah.
That's great. That's a great look. It's sinking into his brains.
Yes. Yeah, I do love that shot when he's sitting there just taking it in.
Yeah.
There was a budding romance in the script between
these
two.
Okay, wait a second. I just want to go on the record right now and say that Meg White might be my favorite drummer.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel bad if they take this as a
That's
as a
not
cut.
A diss. Here's the
just
thing.
The fact that they're talking about them.
Meg White has psychic powers. I've witnessed it.
Well, I hope she knows that was a loving tribute.
That's of course.
Like, he wishes, he's just acting tough.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. Just a reminder, Parents Night is coming up, and I do expect everyone to have a presentation.
Okay, what you did here on this one take, to actually, each one we did something different, but you buttered your hand to...
Is that true? Does butter actually heal a burn?
Well, tell us.
I don't know.
That coffee wasn't really hot, of course.
No, it seems like a
thing
to do.
You sold it, dude. Yeah. I have to say.
The best defense is a good offense. And, Roberta, now that I see you,
I love her little improv when she's talking
about the peanut tray.
Yeah.
And there was more of that. It was very funny. So, important little seed planted here.
Yeah, this is crucial. And you don't get the payoff till like 20 minutes
A little bit later, but it's...
Where
think we hit it home hard enough?
On her.
Did we hit it hard enough? Is there a connection?
Oh, that's okay.
Ding. But still, it's
me.
Important.
Yeah.
It has to work in that. This is when the school's
I love
scary.
That school, man.
Oh,
look
it's
at
beautiful.
That.
Yeah.
That's Staten
Wagner
Island.
College.
School in
Wagner.
Wagner.
Wagner's College. I think it's Wagner.
It looks like a Wagner.
Yeah. So here's the sneak out. This man was a lot of fun. Decorating.
Okay, I just said, let's do this.
That's
actually, I stole that. I stole that from Dave Grohl.
He credit Dave with that one.
Sometimes he would say, less, paging less.
Less.
Let's do this.
That became one of our running.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's do this.
3 points, that's very clever.
I didn't go to private schools. Did you?
I did.
Did you?
11th and 12th grade, I went to a private school.
Those are probably good years to be in a private school. But I worry about kids this age, when you're 10 and 11,
right.
12. It seems kind of weird that there's so much parental, like, expectation, and there's a lot of pressure on kids to, like, oh, if you do bad, poorly in this fifth grade, you're not going to get into that junior high, and then you won't get into that prep school, and then you won't get into Yale.
That's
and
crazy.
And it's like, oh, it's crazy. Yeah, it's so, like, oh, that's not what life's about.
He's gone. Flunk
every last one of you. What's up, dude? Check out these old kids, man.
Hey, shut up.
Hey, there's Nikki Catt.
Actor Nikki Catt making a little cameo appearance.
Hey, you want a piece of me?
That was cool of him to come down and do it. You know why he did it?
Why?
Because you were the director.
He wouldn't we've worked together before.
He wouldn't have thrown down in a tiny part for anyone that was just somebody he didn't know.
We go way back.
But he's...
He had fun. And he's, you know...
He's an amazing...
I buy him.
...character actor.
I don't feel good. I feel sick. Just let Alicia and Marta do it.
No! They can't sing like...
This is another one of the scenes I loved.
What is it? Yeah, this was another circle.
I didn't want him to... Which is weird, because it's kind of a sensitive scene.
You like the
why
sensitive.
Why did I love the sensitive scene so much?
I think it shows your sensitive side, Jack.
There was one thing that was cut out of this. I remember... Well, yeah. It wasn't cut out, but some takes I did it and some takes I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You've got talent, girl.
I'll
point it out when
else.
It comes up here.
I'm yeah. Just saying that. The weight problem.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, she's a big lady, but when she starts singing, she blows people's minds. Everybody wants to party with Aretha! And you know who else has a weight issue?
Are you ready for a bombshell?
Me.
Right.
Yeah. Are you ready for a bombshell?
Once I get up,
but you know what? It's probably better without it.
I trimmed that out because
I'm sexy.
Although it was very funny, it was going a little off the course.
Right.
You know?
It's not really
and like,
about, yeah.
Like, there's a certain sincere quality through all this. Right. Even though it's kind of wacky. But, like, that was one step. I don't know.
I swear. Let's just go out there. Show
ultimately, it was a tad. Although funny, it was one of those choices. Although funny, a little distracting maybe from the...
Yeah.
Like, it was good to see you just kind of straight up. I mean, as straight as Dewey's going to get here.
Miriam really brought Miriam really brought her A game to that scene,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
That was crucial.
What?
We needed her to
kind of... I mean, you can't be any better than her.
We needed her to act her butt off in that scene.
Yeah.
She really did great.
Yeah, I couldn't have been more happy. You know, kids, there are various levels of volatility in their performances. I never worried about Miriam. She was always like hammering nails, you know, just boom, boom.
How scary would it be, though, if your kid was lost for a while? That's got to be pretty scary stuff. That's why I'll never have one. What if I lose him?
What if I lose him?
Hey, man.
Hey.
You think you're pretty funny partying with
this was a longer scene too. Remember, you kind of threw a tantrum and threw a beer can.
Oh yeah,
it was. It got a little more wound up. And you are setting an example. Again, it was that kind of. Start acting like a. This was the second half of the scene we just jumped to. I love your little point here, that you kind of.
Well, in the end, the movie can only be so long. You got to start trimming something.
Right. It's always like that. But
yeah.
And there was more here, too. But
you listen to me. Those aren't real rockers.
This, to me, bordered on, like, two after-school space or whatever. Uh-huh. There was a quality here that it... Because remember, he was just trying to have fun. Remember, he had a lecture about... Oh, let me tell you something about fun.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't that much fun. You know, got a little more...
I
thought
that
was the more important sentiment. Like, one great show. To me, that was the more storytelling. Less lecture-y, more storytelling. But,
yeah.
You know, editing is sort of, you know, slowly rewriting a little bit, but...
So that was that great theater that we found, right?
In Staten Island.
Listen how I say we found. I had nothing to do with it.
Your spirit was with us every scouting trip. You approved it. But if you would have walked in and said, this place sucks, we wouldn't have. You know, that would have meant something.
Everyone always says that casting is 90% of directing, but... How much is scouting?
It's all the above, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's casting, it's... You listen to me. These kids have worked their lives. It's casting your collaborators, your costume people, your hair people, your...
Hey, there's Frank Whaley.
You know, I love that Frank did this as a favor.
Yeah.
To me, I called him up and asked him if he would. and it's kind of one of these cameo things. I think it's kind of funny to have Robbie Krieger from the Doors movie now here being the...
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty funny.
It's always cool to get people that are overqualified for a small role.
His cup runneth over.
This was a tricky little shot. Because it went in three stages.
Yeah.
Here we stopped. And that's the end of the shot, right? And then he's going to walk off.
Go on the move. Yeah. I love, see this little production design detail in the background?
Yeah.
Where the decrepit wall meets the floor? That's, we made that.
Nice.
That wall is nicer. That was Jeremy Conway, our production designer in my whole art department. I just see that kind of detail you get.
It is. It makes a big difference. The yellowing paper in the background.
This lobby, as we remember it, isn't the actual lobby from that theater in Staten Island. This is a different location.
Right.
So, but we had to match the decrepitness of the other place to this. So.
Yeah.
Their terminal. Every last one of them.
But I was eating the same pizza there that day that I was on the day that we shot in the theater.
Right. So it's all the same.
We found the best pizza in Staten Island.
Finally and found it.
I ate that thing till the
whatever
cows
borough came. We were in, you kind of picked a restaurant.
It's
Luger's
true.
Over in Brooklyn?
Don't tell people I had Luger's for lunch every day. Because that's
just
not
did.
True. No. I had it once every 3 days. Tops.
No.
Maybe one time I had Peter Luger's steak 2 days in a row. It's really decadent because it's probably the best steak in the universe. It's very expensive. But I felt that I needed it if I was going to be at my peak acting performance.
You're dying, remember?
Okay, coming up, our Led Zeppelin song that we worked so hard for.
Hell
it's
yeah.
It's kind of a drab neighborhood and the car driving, but it's like the spirit in the car.
That is so bitchin'. Then the skull, vibrating skull. And we had three different songs that
we
might
had to
have
cover
gone with.
Ourselves.
Let's not say what the other songs were.
No, I don't want to put them down. They were good.
But
they
this was
good.
By far the best, right?
This take, I loved your little hammer of the gods. You added a little god. That.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite scenes. It's a fun spirited. But just the fact that you have these fifth graders, when they should be in class, they're riding around in a van, listening to Led Zeppelin. I mean,
smoke
it doesn't get
billowing out of the
any
thing.
Better than that.
And we have this victory without ever having actually auditioned.
I know, that's double victory.
We emerge victorious. I love this here.
As it should be.
Hey, Mr. S.
Mm-hmm.
We have a name for the band.
The thing that makes me laugh is that some kids, even at like the age of six that I've talked to that have seen the movie, they get, not everything, but certain elements, like they get that he's pretending to be a substitute teacher. He's pretending.
He's not, but he...
That just makes me laugh that they really dig that. He's pretending, and that's naughty.
Yeah, it has an element of, like, misbehaving and everything in it so wrong.
Yeah.
You know, almost everything he does is just so...
He's lying.
He's wrong. He's lying. What's our message here? We're teaching kids it's okay to lie.
No. You know what I think the message is? The message isn't for the kids. The message is for the adults, the parents. Don't be lame.
Exactly.
Parents.
Don't forget to rock and roll. Even if parents can rock and roll.
If there is a message.
Oh, Miss Mullins.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
it.
Sorry to interrupt, but Miss Lemon said she heard music coming from the classroom.
Music? Music. I haven't heard any music. Uh-oh. You know what? Miss Lemons must be on crack, right, kids?
I remember I was scared to say that line, too. I felt like that was a...
That was kind of an issue. It's funny.
That might have been rated R. But then I was like... Sometimes the lines that you're scared to say end up being the best lines because you work a little harder to make it acceptable.
Just the fact that it kind of raised a little flag.
Right.
You're in a territory that either could work or could
right.
not. Like you're in a... It's worth kind of going for it, maybe.
...that are the boring subjects.
I like that shot, too, of the lonesome guitar so naked and exposed.
Whose fault was that in the whole scheme of... How did that get left behind?
Well, I handed the guitar to Carrot Top.
Carrot Top screwed up.
Carrot Top fumbled the ball, apparently.
Yeah, he bricked.
So, please, just...
If you cut to Carrot Top right now, his face would be as red as his hair.
That's right.
Okay.
As it should be.
At the foible.
As it should be. There he is. There he is, that little Carrot Top. Some fancy footwork here.
Yeah. Okay. Mike wrote the lyrics to this song. And
I don't know if he was ever satisfied. This is the one scene I always got a sense that Mike didn't totally... I don't know, did you ever get that?
No.
Okay, good.
But he maybe you saw something back that I didn't see.
Okay, now, the actual...
This is one of my favorite scenes.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'll say this. Mike wrote the lyrics.
But all this
but
stuff...
The music is, well, more than a little bit of a... You know, a tribute to Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah.
Nine. No, it's eight.
Caitlin's so good.
No, it's nine.
It's nine. Like,
yes, I was testing
to throw in, I was testing you.
She's got a nice vibrato.
No, I didn't mean it. I mean, Mike was like, I think it's one of the few times that I don't think we were going beyond what, you know.
I think he wanted the melody to be more of like a straight-up folksy...
Maybe. It was in the melody where I sensed the discontent,
yeah.
But
I needed,
hey,
I
so
needed,
what? He's just the writer.
I needed a little something
yeah
more to party with melody-wise.
Well, you had fun with the... Six times a billion. You wanted to
I wanted to get
more hyperbolic.
That was one of those times where, after we were done with it, a few hours later, I thought of something I wish
right
I would have done. I wish I would have said six times a zillion is
billion. Yeah, not being real.
Maybe it's for the best though that I kept it
a billion.
Billion. Zillion doesn't even sound like a number, but it is a number. I think.
How many zeros on it?
A lot. More than a billion.
Not as many as a skedillion, though.
And definitely not as many as a Google.
Google.
Look at the love that's blossoming there between me.
It
and
is. I think it's going somewhere.
Philosophy on, you know, teaching. Do you think maybe we could grab some coffee?
You can't really teach someone how to have a good time. You can just have a good time, and then it's kind of infectious.
Exactly. You have to see it's okay to have a good time, that there's permission to be had. I think we're sort of, everyone's so approached in this culture. I mean, my farther reaches of paranoia in, like, social molding and control is school teaches you to be a good worker, which isn't creative necessarily. It's like how to be a trained monkey to do your job and to cause as little problems as possible. So if that's the goal of the system, they're certainly not going to teach you to be, you know, too creative or have too much fun. That's not in their quotient, you know, for the whole process. So you have to find that on your own. But once you find that, you know, I think the human spirit will always rebel and have a little fun. The subversive thing from the corner. And that was kind of the spirit of this movie, was a lot of fun. I felt we were the delinquents sort of in the corner. We're in this official system. Like, the movie is sort of an official, you know, it's a Hollywood entertainment, right? You know, it's a studio film going out to potentially a large audience. But it was like us kind of having our little fun, you know, on the side within the whole project. I don't know. It had a great streak of fun, rebellious spirit that I thought Dewey was about.
Yeah.
Like, he's the wrong guy to be in that situation, which made it so fun, you know.
You stay right there. I'm going to go put on...
And Joan is so great. Like, that little cough. And she...
Now, this song originally was going to be a different Fleetwood Mac
song.
Yeah,
it was less Stevie. It was more...
But then Joan was like...
The chain.
Joan wanted this song.
You will never... It was that... Yeah. But in rehearsals, I could tell Joan had a strong...
Yeah.
Strong personal affinity to Edge of 17.
That's right.
When you flapped your little wings here.
That was the first...
That's a nice segue, too, to go from wings to little Michael Jackson, isn't it? Where'd that come from?
That's a weird combo, you're right.
It's a great segue, though. Right from the 70s to the 80s.
That's true.
Or the early 80s to the later. Well, this song is actually, what, 81? 80, 81.
I know.
Oh, man. Gosh. I don't know,
it was Stevie solo.
I
think Stevie will like all this?
She is on the album.
I remember when we rehearsed this.
It's a loving tribute to Stevie.
Remember when we rehearsed this? It was all about... We rehearsed it to this song.
Yeah.
Until we nailed it perfectly on the...
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, let's try to hit...
Yeah, the end of the scene right on the... Ooh, baby, ooh.
Hey.
Enya, that kind of stuff.
Huh.
See, Dewey never gives up here. He's always working her.
Yeah.
Every scene with her, he's like, from the get-go, it's field trip, you know, field trip, getting out of class. He's always plotting.
Sing the song, song, drop, and sing it.
Ooh, baby, ooh.
It's hard to sing along with a... Because you can't have live music, but you had those little earwigs.
That's true. We were listening to the song in a little
earwig.
A little
Danny
speaker
Michael,
in our
ear. Brilliant sound guy, has little earwigs.
Tomorrow.
Keeping your head over water, making a wave when you can. Tip the river, play all good time. Here's a credit rip off, good time. Scratch it out.
I remember picking Good Times. We did a lot of different variations here. Another one being The Journey.
Didn't she just throw that in? Could you stop that?
Uh-huh.
She just did that one take. She just shut me up.
Just, would you stop that?
That's funny.
You know, this is the first
remember we did variations of what song you were doing? You had that Journey one.
Oh, yeah.
Na, 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 na.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty funny, too. It was tough to... But you got to get Good Times in there if you can.
It's good to have the choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
We always had like three or four different songs in different sections.
Intimidated. Intimidated? They hate me.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. They sure do. I can see. I wasn't always like this, you know. I wasn't always wrong.
You know, we actually did a test screening. You don't know this, but where we dropped this scene entirely.
Oh man!
Believe it or not,
I would have missed it.
Oh, absolutely! I did it. Just it was one of those idea. It was like a bold idea for the keeping the thing moving,
right?
But it was like it just decimated her character.
No, yeah.
It's just like it was like she went from being liking Joan to like why is Joan so underutilized in this movie? Like because it's so essential for her character to.
Oh yeah.
To feel that what she's doing here, it's funny, but it, you know, it's her character, the pressure.
I never wanted to be.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
It's so, like, for Joan to come up with that, to not say it out loud, to just mouth it.
It's so crucial to set this up, too, so that later when she's freaking out with the parents, you have
and
a
we
real
know
sense of...
when she puts her head in the corner, it's like,
what
this
she's
is
up against.
She is living her worst nightmare.
Yeah.
And right from the moment you looked at her, she looks at you right there.
Yeah.
That scene continued.
Yeah.
She crawled in your lap.
That's right. That's when the legendary makeout scene that was
legendary,
cut
but is no more.
I know why it was cut out though. It was
political reasons.
Well, plus if I made out with her, then when she finds out I'm a fraud. That would just be
it was one of those
too
things,
unforgivable.
It's one of those things that's in itself is really funny, but it ultimately opened a can of worms that we never could resolve. Or it was just a subtle thing. Like, we had one screening, I think, and it was like,
check out these costumes that these kids are wearing.
That's not a bad idea.
Hey, it's glitter rock.
I was kidding.
Excuse me. Hey, ho, ha.
So we get the first hint of the song to be.
It's just something I wrote.
You wrote a song?
Didn't we get this song in the nick of time?
Oh, my gosh. That was one of the worst, you know, like I describe it as the music industry meeting the film industry.
Yeah.
And to me, the film industry is all about preparation, planning, rehearsal.
And schedule.
Music and schedule. Yeah, like, hey, we got the Battle of Bands coming up. We got to have this song. We got to plant the seed here in this scene. And music, I swear to God, it's all about pulling it together at the last minute.
It's not, yeah, music's not really about it's deadlines on, yeah. in the same way.
Yeah, and they couldn't quite get on our vibe.
Okay, that's it. You guys rock.
We were having these lunch meetings.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, where is it? Where is
and
it?
We weren't like that Chicago movie where everyone had all their songs done
no.
before the
30 years ago.
Started. Yeah.
Yeah, no,
we
no,
actually
no.
had to get all this music together. And when we figured out that I wasn't the musical genius I claimed to be, we had to find somebody to write some songs lickety-split.
That's right. It was your idea to get the Mooney Suzuki,
you know,
who
it
I was a
so,
fan.
It wasn't oh. so much my idea as I just saw them open for the Strokes like 2 weeks before we shot this scene.
I know. It's like, hey.
And they kicked its ass, and I asked them would they do it, and by God, they...
They came through big time, though.
Yeah.
They really did. Because they caught the right vibe, you know. Like, we sort of live or die with this song. If this sucked, if you didn't kind of like it, I mean,
yeah.
we got nothing, you know?
It's true.
I mean, it's just good enough, you know? You know, can we try that? And also, and you sort of believe he could have written these lyrics that,
that's
that Mike came up with. Also
yeah.
in a, with some prompting.
That's true.
I love, like, showing the inner workings of a band, how you would work on a song. So many movies and media depictions of music, you only see the final product. You see the performance. But to have you stopping and, hey, this would be better, or give me some, you know, to show how
That's
you do
true.
It. Like, if you're a kid and you're thinking about being in a band, like, oh, maybe this is how you rehearse a little bit. You know, it's like
That's
the behind
true.
The scenes fun. You,
you
know?
Want to see the process.
And like, and what you say right here about the, let me do a solo here. All that comes to pass, remember?
I'm gonna take a solo.
You do in the final song take a solo there.
That's
this is sort
true.
Of funny, and I left it in because you just sort of threw all this shit in. But
I'm glad you left that in.
But I wouldn't have done it if it didn't really, really happen. Like, because later, he does take a solo later. You take the first solo
yeah.
in the final show. It's like, you call it right there.
All right. Tomorrow's the big day.
In reality, that's the closest I'll ever come to playing that solo, is singing it.
But you've gotten so good at singing solos.
My ventrilo solo technique.
I know, it's your
ventrilo
own.
Ventrilo solo.
You've raised it to a high art form
Thank you.
At this point.
I'm proud of every last stinking one of you. So let's just give this everything we got. We may fall on our faces, but if we do, we will fall with dignity. With a guitar in our hands and rock in our hearts. And in the words of AC/DC... We roll tonight to the guitar bite, and for those about to rock, I salute you. Roz, excuse me, just wanted to remind you about our little field trip tomorrow.
What field trip?
The educational concert we were talking about.
That's cool how that shot would kind of catch up to Joan walking already.
Yeah, we kind of pass her.
That's good.
Pull her into the shot. As few cuts as possible. Good in that. You're still lying your way through this with the Mozart. And the...
Preparations. There's not enough time. I don't know anything about it. Where is it?
Bro, I've got it all covered. What's going on? Are you mad at me or something?
No, no, Ned, I'm sorry, I'm just...
Rohair.
Because it's...
Rohair.
Hey,
Stouffer's?
Yeah.
Gonna be fine.
Or is it Stouffer's?
Well, if you want to get all American, Roger Stouffer's?
Yeah.
No, but it's a Rohair Stouffer.
Like those delicious pizzas.
We're talking about the cameraman.
Stouffer's pizzas.
Rohair Stouffer's. And a great Jim McConkey, my Steadicam operator,
yeah.
A camera. He was
that sounds so great.
So great. I mean, you know, just.
But what?
We had a lot of Steadicam in this movie, but without trying to be too obvious, there's a few shots that really scream out. But
yeah.
Big difference in this world between a mediocre steady operator and one of the best.
Yeah.
Big difference. If you have any doubt, look at the presidents on the wall during a shot. If they're lined up, you know, mediocre one, you'll be cutting off. Like, George Washington will be out of the shot, and Nixon will be in, you know, like,
right.
But he keeps it level. Just look at the level.
Right. I thought you were saying because George Washington is more important than Nixon. He should
well,
make
arguably,
the
yes.
Forest Green Prep for $1,200. I've never even worked there.
What are you doing?
calling the school. Hi.
This was a tough monologue, man. I really...
Oh, yeah.
I had to learn this more backwards and forwards than any of my other lines because of how fast I had to do it.
Times make it out to cash.
I don't have the best memory in the universe, so... When I have to say stuff fast, then I really have to learn it.
They called looking for a sub, and I said I was you just to make some money, but then I got there and
I don't even think we used the whole
thing.
Doesn't
Mike look like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Huh?
Let me see.
When they had that first look, he's like, you expect his nose to shine red.
No, it's his nose isn't really shiny red there. Let me see. Okay, a little bit.
A little Rudolph.
For a battle of the bands, isn't that great? It's the coolest thing that ever happened. One day, that's all I asked, Ned.
You know, I had to cut out.
It was my fault. He had nothing.
And she was making out with me. Did you even notice that? Because we cut it out of the movie. And
when?
Then the principal, and then she was making out with me, and then we.
Oh yeah.
Had to excise
had to
that.
He well
barely.
Done.
It's a dialogue cut, but.
That's a clean cut.
Oh, the witch is back.
I like how she has psychic powers here.
Oh yeah. And the coincidences are. This was a smooth one here between the, your hand signals and the, yeah. It's a big focus pull on that, but.
What's going on, Ned?
This was a little went a long way here. Like, this scene went on longer, but it was like, oh, let's just plant the seed. We know
yeah.
he's, a, we know he's like, cooked here, right? Again, the skull crosses. A lot of
yeah.
Volvos in this movie. That was an ongoing joke, the Volvos. We didn't quite... hit it as hard as in the final cut as in the script.
The Volvos?
It was kind of an ongoing Volvo thing.
What's wrong?
Roz, I'm not a teacher.
Oh, man.
One of our rare night scenes on this movie. This movie was very much a daytime. I've done movies that are all night. But
oh, man, where was I for that movie?
Because
I'll tell you what, that's my schedule.
Yeah, me too. I never minded night shoots.
Night shoots.
Get in there and tell those parents what you've been teaching their kids.
Yeah, you know, math.
The parents.
English.
Uh-huh.
What, science? What else? Geography? History? Latin? Spanish?
It's kind of fun
French,
to see the kids without their
Latin,
uniforms, but with the parent night.
Math,
I've been on these parent night things, but...
Anyway, you know, just all the stuff you...
I was always kind of nervous about this scene, you know, as you approach something. Like, can we pull off... I wasn't worried about this part, but the hallway when they start showing up and
right.
all that. That was kind of tricky.
Or just the everyone yelling at the same
yeah,
time.
Yeah, that
that's,
can be so messy.
Right.
He says when he grows up, he wants to be a musician.
Right.
Is this your influence?
Yeah, Mr. Schneebly, why has my daughter become obsessed with David Geffen?
How is this? Homework? Okay. See, I would like to tell you about what we've been doing in here, but there's such a thing as teacher-student confidentiality, and I don't want to be in breach of educational law because I could be dismembered by the teacher's union. So, you expect us to believe this garbage?
I...
Mr. S., don't you think you should just tell them about the project?
What project?
Our class project. Every school in the state is competing.
I remember when we shot this scene, you kept on saying, Jack, keep looking out the look out the door. The cop's there.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Cause it,
and
it's
at the
kinda...
time, I felt like, do I really need to do that? But now that I see it cut together, I'm like, yeah. It's
the
a good
looks,
thing. I...
It's like the walls are closing in.
That's
the
thing.
It's so funny to see you in this grip here. It's like,
yeah.
You know, it's up.
Zach is an insane guitarist. He's the next Hendrix, and he's 10 years old. And Gordon here, he's a genius. He did a whole... professional light show on his computer.
The professional New York extras are kind of tough. They'll find their way into every shot. That was weird for me to... They're their own little secret society. It's like, hey, did you see that? Here comes another. Like, they'll find the camera. It drove me crazy. Like, hey, just stand in the background. It's like,
that's
no.
That's the thing. It's like, I Love
fine.
Lucy, man. You're lucky they didn't write their own name on their face.
They would have.
Sir, can I see you in the hall for a moment?
Can I just, let me just say a couple more things.
What's going on?
What's happening, officer?
Apparently that man is not Ned Schneebly.
Barry, this cop. I thought he was the right mix of,
this man
not
is.
Crazy cop, but
he's not
believe he's a real cop.
You called
yeah.
She
that's a very believable performance.
You're apologizing to him?
You know, cops, you can go way out of control.
Ned.
I remember feeling on this night with... with all you guys. This is the only scene where all four of you, the comedians, are all in the scene together.
That's true.
Right? I remember, it's like what was going on off the... Okay.
And I'm pretty sure I've touched them.
Remember coming up with this? It was like, can we pull this off?
Well, I loved it so much, like, in the read-through when we did it that one time. But then
we tried it. Like, can we? Let's just see how it sounds. I think it's a tribute to, like, Scott Rudin's humor that he went, oh, I think that's subversive. You know,
well,
like,
you know,
that's funny.
There were so many things like that. Like, your kids have touched me. That's I thought was definitely going to be cut out.
Yeah.
Little evil thing called MTV. I thought that was going to be cut out. And I'm glad all those things that I thought
like
were
we
so funny.
It's fun to feel like
in.
You got away with something, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good vibe. Getting away with it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's subtle little small victories in the big war, but. It's fun to see you guys going at it here. It's been a long time coming.
When two people are screaming at each other at the same time like that, it kind of becomes music in a way.
Yeah.
There's two different horns blowing.
I like that, because if you just concentrate on one or the other, they're making total sense.
Yeah.
Each of you. That's what's so great about that argument. You both have pretty legitimate, you know, complaints.
Whenever I've seen the movie, I only listen to my own side.
Well, next time
I'm
going to
listen
to Sarah's.
I'm going
to
listen to Sarah's next time.
She has a really good point about...
Sometimes you got to know when to quit.
But what a jerk you.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I suck.
It's not what I said.
Well, music is my life, man. What do you want me to do?
I don't know. But I think it's time you moved out. Sorry.
I'm more sorry.
That is his favorite word that his character is sorry.
Has to.
So his name really wasn't Mr. Schneebly?
No, it was like Dewey something.
Still hanging on to his drumsticks.
What about the project? Wake up, Marco. There was no project. He just wanted us to play a show so he could make some money.
I can't believe we weren't getting
this scene went on much longer. It was a tough scene.
Yeah,
I remember working on it. I mean, with Mike, it was like, God, how do we get the kids going to, you know? It's all very obligatory.
Right. That's a great exchange, though, between Kevin and Robert. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we supposed to do?
I say we get out of here and play the damn show.
And that's a great line.
Boom. We cut it out on that.
Yeah.
And that's halfway through the scene, but it's sort of all you needed. Often in movies, you get very literal and shoot the whole scene.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, we just plant the seed. Like, those kids, they'll figure out. Suzanne Douglas plays Tamika's mom. She's wonderful.
Here for the field trip.
McIntyre, the bus driver. I think he worked the most days in the movie outside of... like, he worked about 13 days. He was always there on the bus. How you doing, McIntyre?
I didn't have much say over the casting process. Not that I didn't have say, but I left that all up to you. I didn't really want to have any say in it because that seems like one of the hardest parts is getting all the right people to be all the parts.
To me, that felt like the hugest challenge going in. It's like, we don't have a movie if we don't get this part right. Like, if the kids
don't.
I was just kind of so in love with the kids. I mean, that's sort of a daunting undertaking. Like, admit it, heading into this movie, what was the biggest wild card in your mind? Probably the relation with the kids. Like, who are they going to be? How are they going to be good? How fake? How real? You know, what could it be?
Yeah.
And it was just so fun to, like, they all... were so unique, you know, in their own way.
Oh, my God.
I mean, what's the rule? Kids and animals and, you know, things you avoid and...
Well, yeah, they say that because they're so cute or whatever. They steal focus. I wasn't worried about that as much as I was just afraid of kids. I have a fear of kids, and I don't know what that's about, really, but I'm afraid they're going to be bored of me or something.
You did a funny improv there when you'll end up like me with nothing. accept these albums, and that's a pretty cool speaker. You know, you kind of start listing some of your favorite things. I almost used
but
that
But besides
one.
That, nothing.
Nothing, but that's pretty cool, and a couple guitars. But besides that, nothing. You kept adding.
Why didn't you use it? Once again.
Once again.
Gotta get to the gig.
Oh, no. No, it was funny, but I would have been really afraid. Like, I wouldn't have been able to do this movie had I not had a 10-year-old daughter myself. That was the linchpin for my... To me, it was like Dewey's character, the rock and roll aspect, and the kids. Where 10 years ago, I would have been like, I'm either too intimidated, afraid, or what you just said. Like, you'll find you might not have a rapport with them. Like, how do you relate to it, 11-year-old? You know, like, it's been a long time, but... Having one made me think, oh yeah, by that age, it reminds you, remember how you were in fifth grade? Pretty cool. You appreciated adults who treated you like a real person.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was the metaphor for the movie and kind of the tone of the movie. Like, I didn't see this as a kid's movie. It's Dewey's movie, and it features all these kids, and you are pulling them up to your level.
I don't like people I don't know. First of all, I'm scared of strangers,
period.
That's
most of the world, yeah.
And then children strangers are even scarier because I feel like children maybe have the power to see through your bogosity. They can tell if you're a phony or something. I was like, they're going to know I'm a fake. And then once I got there and the kids were there, they were having so much fun just being there in a movie And they were so psyched to be doing comedy scenes with me that it just turned into...
They loved you. I love the vibe.
It turned into a love fest.
Joan played this like with a certain kind of joy that was unexpected.
Well,
like she enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Shoving it in these people's face. Okay, that is...
There's the Mooney Suzuki.
The Mooney Suzuki. Two of them. The other two are back in the little room back there.
But...
No, they told me. They actually met. The main guys met at a Battle of the Bands in New Jersey years ago. When we were arguing, like, the legitimacy of a big Battle of the Bands, they said, oh, yeah, we actually met at a Battle of the Bands. That made me feel good.
They would have ended up writing... The finale song to the School of Rock.
Maybe what will be like one of the Battle of the Band scenes in rock movie history.
Yeah. They were really stoked when they saw the movie.
We've raised the bar on Battle of the Band scenes.
Sam Mooney gave me a call and said he loved it.
Who did?
Sam Mooney, lead singer of the Mooney Suzuki.
Gave you a call?
Yeah.
All right. And Billy, how's beautification?
Are you kidding?
Okay. Listen up, you guys. We only have one song.
Ryan was sick this day. I remember the poor kid had thrown up.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And was back. There was a little bug going around.
There was
and
a bark bug.
Bark
there was a bark bug, and we were banned.
Wiped
from
out the crew.
Yeah.
I mean, the cast.
We were not allowed to play sticks anymore.
Every day we'd show up, and what kid is sick today? I felt like for about 3 weeks in a row. What kid is sick? Who are we?
I'm just glad I never caught the bark bug.
Who are we shooting around? You know, I caught it. We had one day off during production, New Year's Eve, remember? I got it that. It's a 24-hour virus. I had it that.
Oh, man.
So I didn't miss a day of work, but that the one day off was like...
Let me just say, I love... Okay, I don't love... Here comes the prayer.
The prayer.
The band prayer. There was fear that maybe we would scare up people that lived in the Bible Belt.
I live in the Bible Belt. I have a good sense of humor about that.
That's good. Because we're praying to the God of Rock. Now,
well,
who is that? That's
everyone
not...
Well, you didn't say we're praying to
God of Rock.
Of darkness. Or
that's true.
God of Beelzebub. You were
that's
saying
true.
God of Rock. I think they saw it as like higher inspiration.
Yeah. Okay, this is Zach, who
Zachary
plays Gordon.
Infante.
Who I think is a... He really reminds me the most of myself when I was his age. The same sort of energy.
Right. Yeah, a lot
he's
of
really
great energy.
Okay, made me laugh a lot on the set.
Very much.
I wish he had more lines in the movie, but I know he's gonna be great.
Now, I think I failed here. Like, I don't think I've talked to a few people who don't understand that this is the band that kicked you out. I know it's been an hour and 10 minutes or whatever, but they don't. I mean, My whole point was,
look at that move he's doing back there.
But they're coughed, and you know they've got he cut his hair. They're wearing a different. Obviously, they've been dressed. They're totally going for the record deal.
But that got guy, the new guy, that shirt that he's wearing, that anti shirt that's just sort of leather sleeves,
it's his sleeves,
and that crazy like grinding dance move. That's what's going to get him the supporting Oscar nomination.
Well, I think Karen Pat should get an Academy Award nomination for the costume, just that little shirt she came
up
with.
That was incredible.
Yeah. But
that
I
made me laugh
people,
out loud every time I see it.
But you see, what I was saying, I was bummed that people, I don't know if this is, I've heard it from a couple, that, oh, that's, they didn't get that that was your old band.
Yeah.
Is that possible? I mean, I thought it was pretty obvious.
I don't know.
But, you know,
it's
I don't
obvious
know.
To me, but I'm,
me too, but
I'm right in the middle of it, so
yeah.
I can't tell.
Adam Pascal, his heartfeltness of that sells it, his sincerity with his performance there, his voice.
And the song was written by our own Zach Mooneyham.
This little animation thing we worked on, just to have to keep it simple. We were going to have it throughout the whole show, all these different things like, no, let's pay it here and then freeze it. See, the Rick Wakeman comes full circle from the time you gave him the CD. Now he's got a cape. So that's a little inside rocker thing.
I like how Robert has the two keyboards, one on top of the other.
Yeah.
That's the Rick Wakeman school.
Well, the toll, he would have it handheld maybe on its side doing that. Remember, we had early, you know, uniforms for the kids, and they were just too Nickelodeon. These are a little bit Nickelodeon, but we thought it was to subvert the uniform idea. Like they would take, you know, that was maybe better than, there was some stuff that was just too cutesy.
Agreed.
I mean, it's still pretty cutesy, but it was a lot worse. This is where Rebecca Brown, the bass player, really totally is a rock star, don't you think?
Yeah.
By the end, when you're doing the encore, if you look at her, she's amazing. She was an interesting kid. I mean, she's like, also on the younger end, she was young, although she's kind of tall. But she had this kind of vibe. And we see Tamika here as total rock star.
Do you remember one time I came off stage and I was like, didn't I ask for oxygen to be off in the wings?
Did you?
Maybe not. Yes, maybe. I did.
I'm sure you did.
I was a huffing and a puffing stuff. What a wheezing, gasping, pathetic loser I am. Needed oxygen in the wings because I rock too hard. That doesn't make me a loser, but it doesn't sound very rocking.
To need oxygen?
To have a,
you're a little young for that. I could see like the Rolling Stones maybe needing oxygen at this point, but not you.
Well, it depends on how hard you rock, man.
Mm-hmm.
You rock hard enough, you're going to need the oxygen and an IV. And I rock extremely hard.
See, the dry ice comes full circle.
That's right.
All these little
connections. I told them I wanted dry ice.
And here it comes. It's great to plant a seed in a movie and then to see it come back. See, Jim O'Rourke came up with this little ditty with the free hand.
It looks like he's saying shame on you.
Yeah, kind of. He's supposed to be like shooting a little gun.
Really, he's just showing off that he can do it with one hand.
Yeah, clearly. Robert Sy's a bit of a show-off.
I'm kidding. He's a bit of a philosopher.
Oh, man. He's from a different century.
He wrote me a cool...
Did you get a letter from him
nice
at the end?
Working with you letter,
yeah. I got a classic one. Felt like it was written from 1830 or something.
Yeah.
It's flowery, beautiful.
On this day, May the 1st.
Right. And so...
2002.
Robert Lynn, who plays Lawrence's father, he also played Mao in Kundun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Scorsese's Kundun. So efficient here. You put down the guitar and then, woo!
What do you think he's more proud of? His Mao?
I'm sure this one.
Or father of,
father of Lawrence. Here,
Mao,
I always
like
love this shot.
Part,
he felt like a little dog who was getting his belly scratched or something.
Yeah.
He was just kind of happy. You know?
Yeah.
Were you at all nervous jumping into the crowd?
Hell yeah. I've never done that in reality.
Yeah, why would one? Some people do.
No, I mean, it seems like a fun thing to do, but...
Well, you're afraid of what?
I just feel like...
I'm going to
hurt somebody. I'm too heavy. I feel like people that stage dive should... You shouldn't stage dive if you're above 150 pounds.
There's a cutoff.
And I'm well above that. Once you crack 200 pounds...
You really should.
Do everyone a favor. Don't stage dive.
Well, we had strategically put a few stuntmen out there in your path.
The thing is, if you're like
caught.
6'6" and 200 pounds, that's okay because your weight is distributed. But I'm like, 5'6½, bowling ball size. Here comes a 200-pound ball of pain.
Hey, man.
But they were ready for me,
They flip you like a pancake.
They caught me. They flipped me like a pancake.
You were done.
It was,
Pour
kind of a dream
syrup
come
on
true,
you.
To tell you the truth. I've always wanted to do it. I got to do it for real.
Yeah, it's a fun moment.
Summer Hathaway, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, hey, wait. Stop. Come here, guys.
This scene went on much longer, too. This was fun. Lucas Papilius, and the drummers talked, and he says, "You tap, man?" And he just kind of kept going.
Yeah.
It was fun, and just them kind of bonding.
No, I am the...
That tattoo's kind of like a target or something.
You kind of ask for it. Is that where you aim the bow and
arrow? That's where you aim the bow and arrow to kill him.
Boom.
Instantly.
Just put him down. Right in the... Yeah. I like the way he slides in this little...
You're so hot.
I'm sorry. you remember, I know in early drafts they won the battle. It was a more convoluted story.
Oh, yeah.
They did win. But there's really only two choices. They win or they don't win. When you're working with a whole crowd, it's easy to get them all to do... They kind of all tend to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So we got various levels of response to the victory, to the next thing.
All I know... Is like, this guy right coming up here? Here comes one of my favorite parts of the movie. Not this.
That guy.
That guy!
Lower left.
I love that guy.
What's wrong?
What's wrong, Summer? Didn't you hear? We lost!
Hey, chill out, dude. Rock isn't about getting an A. Sex Pistols never won anything.
Don't let the man get you down.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you gotta cheer up. We played a kick-ass show.
We did, didn't we? It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah. What is that?
It's an encore. They want us to go play another song. It's good. Go, you guys. Wait, no, just the band. Okay,
that's
everybody.
That's funny.
I love that you threw in. Okay, everybody. That's like...
Yeah.
The way you get away with shots like... This is all one shot. Look, we're in the back of the theater. And this would really beg for a close-up of you guys coming out.
Yeah.
But I thought it would be more grand, to be wide and then move into a close-up.
Right.
But... The triumphant moment is maybe you guys coming back on stage.
Holy crap. Yeah. How many times did we do this shot before I got it right? I think I did it 7 times. I kept on forgetting.
Well, I did pull a fast one on you because we weren't going to do this day.
That's true.
Remember, we were as scripted, we were going to go into a close-up of a guitar. And I said, I had the idea on that day. Let's tie in the song a little more to the next scene. But we hadn't rehearsed it. We weren't really.
It doesn't matter
ready.
how much notice I had. I definitely should have known the first 2 lyrics to that song.
It would have helped.
But
it
just got a little stage fright and kept on forgetting those first two lines.
Well, but it was sprung on you.
It was.
It doesn't help.
The spring was sprung.
I feel bad about the spring. But, we had to do it.
I'm glad we did.
This is good because Summer's not in the band, but we get a good final thing with Summer.
It looks like I made that myself.
You did?
That little poster, no. This is crazy, okay. Man. You know what's crazy? Is that this song goes till the end of the credits.
Yeah, well...
I mean,
we knew it could stretch with the improvs and stuff.
Well,
this particular song, let's talk about where this grew out of. I mean, I saw it in a rehearsal a couple weeks before.
Yeah.
But you guys have been riffing on this for a while, right?
Every time we would jam, we would at some point play that song, yeah.
I was like, because there was some question on, like, what do we go out on? What song are you guys? And
yeah.
So I think there was
some talk of some different songs, but
yeah,
ultimately
things
this
we had
one,
played around. But this was the way to go because you could have fun and
well,
work up.
Plus, in a movie called The School of Rock,
yeah,
it felt good to say it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. And it is the perfect song to riff on.
Yeah. You can get these solos out.
Yeah.
Well, we shot this in about, we had like a couple hours, one of our second to last day of production.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, closing credit song. It's one of those things that's not really scripted.
Yeah.
It wasn't scheduled. It wasn't, but it's like, hey, we want to do this thing. So it's like, okay, you got 2 hours. And it's like, okay, we had two cameras and let's go.
But
I really felt this could be a fun way to leave. Like, you see the actors really laughing because obviously this isn't rehearsed or that face thing. You're just totally making that up.
So this was not the last thing was shot of the movie because I remember
Remember we were outside
the
bus thing at the end in Staten Island.
But
this was the last thing in the stages.
Oh, okay. But wasn't it the plan to end with this and that would be the end of the movie?
That would have been great.
That would have been
It never works out that way.
Now.
Actually, I wanted the last shot to be you at the urinal.
Oh,
that
yeah.
I don't know why. I thought that would have been like do this and then do that and that'd be the
That would
shoot.
Be a good one.
That's a wrap.
High
at the
fives.
Urinal.
How come no one's giving me a high five?
But we did it well. Our very last scene actually was pretty good because all the kids were there. It was the bus scene.
Now, I've seen a lot of movies where they have footage during the credits.
They do outtakes or funny stuff.
Look, I'm not saying that this is the... But I can't think of any movies where the movie goes until the credits are over.
To me, the movie's not over yet. Like, you shouldn't leave the theater. You're a total, like... bum if you leave the theater before this sequence because this is the ultimate lesson.
Yeah.
You know, this is the movie continues. Like,
but what I'm trying to say is I think it's the first time it's ever been done. And I can tell you're trying to avoid
stroke
this.
A little harder.
I'm
on that.
Trying to stroke the shaft.
Doing a pretty good job.
Have you ever seen it?
Not exactly.
Buddy, of course you haven't. Of course you haven't. I mean, does that make some people mad when it's like, look, I want to see my credit on black screen.
No, because everybody leaves. So
right, that's
you
true.
Actually, as a crew member, you have a better opportunity to be seen
that's
here,
true.
Just in case the eye. It's funny, you sort of grabbed the mic from Alicia here.
She was Bogarting the mic.
But she Bogarted on the take before. She really Bogarted it, but you
right.
sort of do a preemptive Bogart
I
prevention.
I anticipated a Bogart.
Yeah, but she wasn't technically
no,
Bogarting.
No, she wasn't. It wasn't fair of me.
It really wasn't.
No.
It was a residual effect from a previous Bogarting. Now, Caitlin totally riffed this stuff. This surprises. Like,
this
she totally made this up.
Think of something.
Witty kid. Like, yeah, that was great. She breaks the fourth wall.
Yes.
And then you go with it. That's coming up.
Okay, that's
I like the underwear shot here. You were the fun older brother or whatever. And
yeah.
I mean, I would have liked to have been that, but I realized I was the authority.
That's right. You were the man.
I had to be the man. I had to be, and I tried to be as cool and as light about it, but I was the one who had to say, okay, let's get to work. I was the damn... You were the fun guy.
I'm sorry, dude, but you did.
And I had to be the jerk.
You fell into my trap.
You got me.
I was the Pied Piper you were the fun guy. Of rock and roll
dreams. That's the only way it can be. But I love the kids. They were just, you know...
DVD is over. Don't forget to put it in the jewel case package. If it gets scratched up, then it's totally worthless. You got to go get another one. They're not indestructible like they said they would be back in 1989. Well, listen, this has been the DVD commentary. I'm Jack Black. You're Richard Linkletter.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching.